Rage Quitter Podcast. Prepare for a new experience. The Geeks Retreat Tech and Tings Podcast.
Okay, and welcome to the first episode of the rebooted Tech and Tings Podcast. Today we have Mong Pong.
Hello. I'm actually going by GR Superchunk nowadays.
No, you're not. You're going by Mong Pong.
No.
Seriously? I like Mong Pong. I've got used to Mong Pong.
I don't like it anymore.
Well, your TeamSpeak thing that I'm looking at now is Mong Pong, so until you change that, you're Mong Pong, all right?
Mong Pong does it for me.
Yeah, well.
I bet he does.
It does.
Okay, and also joining us is the Moth.
Hi.
Super drunk at the moment.
It's only half a bottle, come on.
It's only half a bottle and he's
He'll get there, don't worry. Deteriorate.
So before we even get to the introduction of what's going on in this podcast and where the podcast has been, I'd just like to take a moment out of our time to just completely bitch at Moth, who promptly started uploading a video just as we were about to record, and hopefully Andrew, using his mad audio editing skills, is going to just add a little clip in now about what that actually sounded like.
I'm a big dick.
Okay. It sounded like a dial-up.
So yeah, Moth, what the f***? Why would you start
no
doing
swearing.
That as we were sorry, you can beep that out.
Just make my editing job harder, thanks.
Yeah, pretty much. Why did you start uploading a video just as we were starting to record?
Trey, in this world, there are a lot of things. One of them is alcohol. Have you ever had alcohol? Because it makes you do dumb things. I mean, really dumb things.
It was a pretty dumb thing.
I love Drunk Moth. Drunk Moth is just a better person than Normal Moth, isn't he?
Thank you. It's nice to know you're thinking about my liver.
He's certainly a louder person. Normally we don't hear anything. This is going to actually be the first podcast where you'll probably hear Moth say more than five words. So where's the podcast been, guys? What's going on? Where's it been?
Back of the sofa. Lost it?
Lost it a little bit.
Yeah.
I moved house. And then loads of winter happened.
Winter came.
We had the warnings for four seasons, and then it came. and it was cold, it was wet, and Christmas happens, doesn't it? Family, holidays, busy at work before Christmas.
Busy at work after
then
Christmas.
Then it's January, and everyone's a bit depressed, because it's crap. The weather was rubbish, still. And then no one really prompted me, so that makes it Stray's fault.
Whoa.
I kept bugging you. No, that's why I didn't blame you. I just said blame Stray.
Stray, f*** you.
Yeah, I like how he was getting ready to defend that point until he realised that it was all the blame was being put on me.
Wait, has the blame shifted to Stray? I'm on board
it
with
has.
This now.
I'm on board.
I'll allow it. So I basically, what happened was I forgot to chase Andrew up and get him to do anything. It kind of fell behind. But I just want to make a quick shout out now to Dean Ross from the Facebook group, which is Geeks Retreat Gaming at Facebook. Mm-hmm.
That's not it.
It is. It's
facebook.com/Geeks Retreat Gaming.
I think people know just to type, if you say at Facebook, they know it's
not Twitter
at the end. You're not Twitter. I'm sorry. I'm normally better than this.
that was below the belt. I'm upset.
I apologise. You are Twitter. You've always been Twitter for me.
Thanks, mate. Hashtag I love you.
Hashtag.
Hashtag thanks, bruv.
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Sorry. Okay. So yeah, a big shout out to Dean Ross, who was like, "Hey, where's the podcast gone?"
What's up, Dean?
Even though he sort of like
this
did
one's
this,
for you,
like,
blood.
He prompted us pretty much a month ago. It's taken like a month for us to all get into the same place at the same time.
We're really bad at the moment, aren't we? You guys are on shift work. I'm self-employed, so
You've got no excuse, basically.
I've got really... Well, yeah, I shouldn't have said that. I haven't really got an excuse, but my work patterns are all over the place.
Just want to defend myself.
Go on.
Yeah, yeah.
Quite often.
Yep. Go on.
Well, I'm always available. If anybody wants me, just come and see me. I am always available for anything.
But you live in it, Moth, haven't you?
I do not know. No, not anymore. I moved, Moth, before you start like being like, oh yeah, come round. We'll share some white wine spritzers. Okay, so we do have two pre-recorded interviews, so I think we're just going to go straight into the first one. James, who is my flatmate, and myself, we were talking about the Battlestar Galactica board game. And I believe Andrew's going to line that clip up to play now. This is Stray. I'm joined by James, and we're talking about a tabletop game. It's Battlestar Galactica, the board game.
Yes.
So, James, if I was somebody who'd never played Battlestar Galactica, the board game before, how would you describe it to me?
It is a asymmetric sort of cooperative game with a... What would it be classed as?
Betrayal element?
Yeah.
Traitor, that's it. I think they call it a traitor element.
A traitor, like an asymmetric, yeah, team-wise one. So you've got one person who is outnumbered on the other team.
Good use of asymmetric.
Yeah, it's a traitor-based board game in which it's set around the fantasy world of the Battlestar Galactica universe, basically. So you set on, you are playing on the Battlestar Galactica in your mission to get to Cobol/Caprica or
wherever. Yeah, there's different expansions that extend where you go depending on like how far into the series it is. We'll talk about the standalone board game to start with. That you're getting to Cobol. Yeah, I think so.
Cobol,
that's a metal, isn't it?
Yeah, possibly.
Anyway, so you're trying to get to this world, which is like where all the tribes sort of like spread out and went to different planets. But that's really not important. That's just where you're getting to at the end of the game. We're not going to try and explain the rules because we don't have an hour to talk about it. That shouldn't put you off, though.
Simply put, you start off the game with a number of players, and a percentage of these players will be working against you. However, they are only revealed at a time when they feel it's advantageous or at a particular phase during the game. At this point, they will actively hinder the cooperative players in reaching their goal. The human player's goal is to reach the end destination alive, in which there are a number of ways to die in this game and lose. Let's just say.
Yeah, you don't actually die.
The bad Cylon players are attempting to stall this or force one of the lost conditions to what they need to be in order for them to win.
Yeah.
Nobody in the beginning knows. You are dealt out a selection of cards to begin with, so it's kind of random who will be the bad guy, and you have to figure it out as you play as to who you can trust and who you cannot.
And the way the loyalty deck works is quite interesting because, to start with, for the first half of the game, everyone might be a human. There's like a sleeper agent element to it. So there's the first looking at loyalty cards, and there's the second looking at loyalty cards. Everything can be going really well at the start of the game. And then when you hit the middle point, that's when everything sort of like goes off the rails.
Well, the human win condition is based on reaching Cobol, which is the end destination for the base board game. This is achieved by jumping the progress of the Battlestar to different destinations, which eight jumps you need to make.
You need to do, like, there's various jump distances, so you can do three jump distances or two or one depending on what the cards come up with, but you always have to, like, once you get to seven, you've got to make one last jump to give like everyone a chance to so the Cylons have a chance to like screw you over in the last jump.
Yeah, pretty much. Turn order wise, you have two things you can do. You can move and you have an action.
So you move to various points on the Battlestar board, and the various sections of the Battlestar do different things. Like, you can go to a command station and launch Vipers to defend the Battlestar, or you can go to the research lab and get engineering skill card. Skill card is probably a good thing to mention as well.
Yeah, each player will select a character. There are a number of characters, again, all based off of the Battlestar characters who are interesting if you've watched the series, but I haven't. Stray has.
It's pretty awesome.
I pretty much refer to them by whatever they look like. So for me, one of the main characters is called the Magician because he looks like a magician.
Gaius Baltar is referred to as the Magician,
AKA,
by James in every single game.
AKA the Magician.
Yeah.
Each character has their own set of skills which they can go through, again, based on a roleplay element from the TV series. Yeah, so you have your political leaders.
The military people tend to have tactics and leadership. The pilots have probably tactics and piloting. The political people have leadership and politics. Basically, if you get a good spread of different characters, which I think the general game setup provides you with, you get a good spread of different skill cards.
So mate, every time we go a little bit off topic here, I just think, oh god, now we have to explain this. Turn order, as we were saying, is you have a movement, an action. You are able to draw three cards from your pool of collective cards. Then once all that is done and dusted, you are able to, well, you draw a crisis card, which is the thing which progresses your drum track and causes bad things to happen, basically. These skill checks are solved and resolved in a number of ways. Either a player will choose an outcome, or an outcome will be based off of the amount of the value of skill cards you put in. Good god, this is going to be awkward to explain.
Let's not get into that. The point is, you all put cards in secretly. And various colours, so like politics is yellow, tactics is, I think, purple. Various colours, positive results, and then people can put in colours that aren't positive, and that basically brings the score down. And so that's the way the Cylon players can sort of like start to screw you over, because they can make you fail tests, and failing tests generally take stuff away from you, like fuel, morale, all the things that you need to keep high in order to win. Something that can happen is you can make a choice, and it's normally a choice between a bad thing or a slightly worse thing, depending on your situation at the time. And as the player in control of the thing, you get the final say on what to do. But you generally have a conversation about it. So that's generally how it goes. It goes around the table, and the crisis cards mean every round things just seem to get worse.
Yeah, which, oh god, it's a very enjoyable game. It can be strange in some regards. We had a game 2 weeks back where up to the midpoint everything was absolutely dandy and we kind of got through things perfectly, and then things just went to shit.
Yeah,
quite quickly. And that was the Cylon winning game, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've had two Cylon wins in a row
when one of our players jumped ship.
Yeah, let's not get into that. That would require far too much explanation. Because that gets onto the Pegasus expansion, which we might tackle on another day. But just talking about the vanilla board game. So now we've got into the meat of it, the turn order. All of this you can learn. It takes a while the first time, but once you start to get a couple experienced players, they can bring, like, explain it.
It begins to make sense, yeah. I think the crux of the game revolves around your ability to plan things out to your favor.
As
an evil player, your intention is to keep yourself under the radar for as long as possible while making as many bad things happen, which, depending on what type of person you are, can be difficult. I'll say it's one of those games definitely where if you don't have a strong poker face, then you're gonna do badly.
Just out of interest, James, how did you feel I did last game? Do you think my poker face was strong, or were you like, he's definitely silent?
Well, after you were
shot you in the face.
Yeah, after you attempted to murder me, then after that point, I was just like, oh, well, there we go.
The way I remember it, I don't think I attempted. I basically arranged to have James executed.
I went to sick bay.
You had to get a new
brand
new character.
Oh, no, I died. Yep, yeah. I did die. Yeah, again, we're getting into slightly advanced mechanics, but yeah.
Normally, there
Stray
is
killed
an execution.
Me. Stray killed
I didn't
me.
Kill you. I basically ordered your execution, and no one said no.
Well, nobody could stop it. That was the issue.
You see, this is where it comes in. The fun part for the Cylon is to pick your moment to come out, and in that moment, I used two actions at once. One to murder James, who was the strongest human player, and the other to put the other human player into the sick bay. for a turn. It was a beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment for me. Anyway, so we've got into the mechanics of the game. James, why do you like this game?
It is a very interesting game, sort of psychology-wise, because you get to know your friends a little bit better, and you get to know who to hate and who to believe on occasions, and who not to believe, and who you should just occasionally execute for no apparent reason.
Next time we play, I might not actually be silent. Just
no, this is true. It does, as Dre said, it does take some getting used to. First time you play, you'll be looking through it, just being like, how does this work? What does that do? Second time round, you'll be like, oh, okay, I get this now. But you may come across, even about maybe, we've played maybe 10 games of it, we still come across things where we're just like, well, how does this work?
But it's generally it just takes a moment to look it up in the rule book and you're all right.
Or Google.
Yeah, Googling things is the way of the future. I personally enjoy it because I always enjoyed co-op games where we're all working together and it's about finding the best route to achieve the objectives. But the problem with some co-op games is if it's all co-op and no competitive element to it, then you sometimes get what's called the alpha player, which is one person who will be like, do this, do that, and all the other players sort of they become less involved and more just doing what this one player is saying. The benefit of Battlestar Galactica is you can never quite trust the advice you're getting, because everyone has their own agenda, especially if they're a Cylon, if they're a human, or if they want to keep their skill cards and not throw them away, if they want to keep themselves alive, or if they've got a different opinion. And I think that adds an element of everyone still involved in the game. And it gets very tense towards the end as well. I've never had a game where it wasn't very close and everyone's standing up around the table, and that kind of that's quite a rush, really.
It definitely feels like points where all the cards are out in the open, power playing becomes very important because you have to maximise what you can do with what little you have left.
Yeah.
And at that point, power playing does really become very important. And knowing the ins and outs of the rule set well can aid you massively at that point in the game.
Yeah. And there's the other benefit of once all the cards are on the table, you suddenly get this massive alliance between the different people. The Cylons are we're openly banded together, and then the humans basically go, oh, right, okay, we've got to quickly band together to combat the Cylons. And things get very, very involved in the last, generally in the last jump. It's it's always very close. And I've enjoyed losing Battlestar Galactica as much as I've enjoyed winning it.
I didn't enjoy the last time.
Yeah, James kind of saw about the last time. Someone basically, there's a mechanic later on where characters can be killed.
My fellow human player, seeing that the end was nigh, decided to jump ship and take me with him.
And by jump ship, by the way, it wasn't just a fully, I'm definitely going to become a Cylon or it was a 40% chance.
Oh yeah, 2 in 5 chance.
40% chance of coming back as a Cylon, and he basically him breaking in his resolve there basically won the game for the Cylon. It was a bit of a hollow victory, to be honest. But I still enjoyed my moment where I was like, execute James, shoot the other person in the face. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. James is now glaring at me. Hi, James.
I tip my hat to your f*** you moment.
That wasn't a hat, that was a glass.
Oh, f*** you, Johnny.
Okay, whatever. Stray's
a dick.
But yeah, there's also, if you're a big fan of the series, I definitely recommend it as well, because there's all these little bits in it that the Crisis is basically taken from.
It's very flavorful. That's something I definitely will say. Everything in the game is about as well representation as you can get in between the events in the TV series.
So the first game ends at pretty much the end of the first series is a good description, or maybe series 1.5, whereas all the expansions that we might go into next time, and there are a lot of expansions which add a lot of flavour and new stuff to it, so keeps the game involved, they sort of follow the series as it goes on. So you get a chance. We played the first one, the original game, 1 week, and then the next expansion the next week, and it really felt like we were sort of moving on in the story as well as playing a new rule set.
changed the difficulty cap as well. Quite a great deal.
The point is, expansions are good, but the core game is definitely worth playing. It's the kind of game that you play on an evening. It's the only game you play. So don't be like, oh, we'll start this at, I don't know, 9 at night and expect to be done before 1 in the morning.
Drinking makes you less bitter about the things that are going to happen you to during that game.
Ironically, that's the Colonel Ty approach to Battlestar. It's a good game. It takes a long time to play it, but it's all fun. Like, it's not. We're going to be talking about lots of different games, and some of them are going to be sort of like party games that you play really quickly. This is a game probably for experienced board game players. Can you imagine if you've never played a tabletop game before and you try to start with this?
You'd get very overwhelmed with it very quickly.
But yeah, it's a good game. It's quite pricey.
Was it base box about £40?
I think more than that. It's definitely worth it though, because when you're buying tabletop games, you've got to think about the hours that you get out of it, gameplay wise. Like, each game is about 3 to 4 hours, I'd say.
Mm.
3 to 4 hours, so you play it a couple times and then think how much you actually spend on like a cinema ticket. James, any last words about Battlestar?
Pick it up. Don't expect to get into it too quickly. Just enjoy learning it to start off with, and enjoy screwing your friends over. That's the main thing to take home with it.
And remember, win or lose, you're still going to have fun. I've been Stray, and this has been James talking about Battlestar.
Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, so that was our little conversation about that. I've got to be honest, we recorded that about 4 months ago, so I have no memory of what was said in it. So I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope I made some good, interesting points. And like, I was definitely right, and James was definitely wrong. Unless we were both agreeing, in which case he was probably right as well.
That's confusing.
It is confusing.
What's your view on reboots, Stray?
I guess sometimes they're okay.
Name one reboot which is better than the original.
Oh god,
on the spot.
God. Captain America, the Hulk.
Wait, hold on. No, which one's the reboot though?
What do you mean? Like, Captain America, there was a Captain America film, wasn't there?
Was there?
Yeah, there's probably been tons of Captain America films.
Probably has, haven't there? I've not seen them. Okay, reboots that people know about. Just random things.
Okay.
I mean, which Hulk were you on about? Because I actually thought Ang Lee Hulk was much better than the one with Ed Norton in.
The second Hulk was definitely the better film. Like, the first Hulk was all over
the one
place.
With Ed Norton compared to Eric Bana. No.
The first one was
the original Hulk was much better.
The first one was like, oh my god, it's nanotechnology and gamma radiation and a little bit of his DNA or some shit. And the other one was like, no, he just gets angry after gamma radiation got in his blood.
I just thought the first one was just a bit more intelligent. A bit more of a rewarding watch. The second one was just... ugh. Just average. Average.
That's what I think of your snobby views there.
That's how you end all the arguments. Farting down the mic.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Farting.
That's not me.
Calm down.
That's not me.
I'll tell you a reboot I really enjoyed.
Go on. Which is it?
And it's not better than the original.
Okay.
But it's very good in a slightly different way. Can you guess? It's a sci-fi
Star Wars?
Film. No.
Is it Empire Strikes Back?
50 Shades of Grey. These aren't reboots. Those are sequels and prequels. Do you know what a reboot is?
Return of the Jedi?
You're an idiot.
Episode 1. All right, now give me some more clues. What is it? So it's a sci-fi.
Yeah, Mars.
Okay. Total Recall.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Ooh. No, what am I wrong about?
You're wrong. Like, Total Recall, the new one, was not...
I didn't say it was better. Stray.
I just knocked my mic over.
You should leave the room after that. The original Total Recall is brilliant.
Yeah, I was saying the reboot. You were saying, supposed to be telling me a reboot that is better.
No, yeah, but I didn't. I said that it's good, but not better. But it was still good. was a Total Recall.
Why would you bring it up as a reboot that was better if it was not better than the original?
I was just saying I enjoyed it.
You didn't, though. I think if you check the tape, you say, do you want to know a reboot that
was better? I'm pretty certain. I'll tell you a reboot I really enjoyed.
Go on. Which is it?
And it's not better than the original.
Okay.
But it's very good in a slightly different way. Can you guess? It's a sci-fi film. Drunk Moth, what did I say?
Mate, I don't know. I just know that this reboot is f***ing amazing.
Which reboot?
No, you're both wrong.
The podcast reboot.
That's what I'm on about.
This is the best reboot. Nice, Moth.
Nice. Awesome. One. You should right, be
drunk. Moth is more on the ball as well. Have you noticed this?
Maybe we should drink. I'm going to start swigging.
Mate, I've literally drinking like a whole bottle of wine.
You drinkened a whole bottle of wine.
I drinking the whole bottle of wine in the time it's taken you to get to this point.
What, 28 years?
makes me so proud.
Okay, yeah, all right.
I ate a Toblerone.
Really? Excellent. Is that our podcast news?
No, I mean...
Mong ate a Toblerone.
Okay, I apologize. We're all a little bit hyper.
Let's calm down.
So let's bring it down. Let's bring it down nice and smooth. Smooth jazz. Smooth jazz. Okay, what did we think about Minecraft modded?
So we're talking about getting a GR modded Minecraft server. That's great.
Oh, is that what that note means?
That's what that note means. We haven't got one yet.
Microsoft had modded it or something.
No. Although you can change your name now in Minecraft. But that's neither here or there. Moth was talking about we should get... He's been playing on modded Minecraft servers, and we should do the same.
Me and Bradley Jackson have actually been in talks about this, and we're currently working on it at the moment.
What's the scoop? What's happening? What are you thinking about?
Well, we're going for a mod pack, which is on the Beast Launcher. I think it's the Infinity mod pack.
Okay, and what's that going to give us?
Everything.
Wow.
Yep.
You heard it here first, guys. We're getting everything.
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 So, is that going to be going on the official GR server, then?
I think he's setting up at the moment. The problem, I think, is... A lot of people on Minecraft have got to the end game, they're all bored, and just adding mods gives you just so much more to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely agree. I was going to say, shall we do it in a manner where I will save GR Island, we'll change the spawn point so that it's in the new blocks with all the new modded stuff in it, and then we can reload it on our server, and basically
why are you getting involved?
I sort of admin the Minecraft server.
Moth and Brad are all over this.
Okay, well, I was just going to say...
Don't worry.
We could potentially save
little fingers
what we've done of the island.
Pies.
I'm just saying, we could save the progress already made on the island.
As far as I know, he's just setting it up. It's just in planning stages.
Right. Okay. Not really much news, but it's happening.
If it's okay with Andrew...
It's coming.
If it's okay with Andrew for me to make this suggestion to the Moth about this planning phase, would you like me to save the existing island and you can use that file?
You could use a world edit to bring in the existing island, yes?
Yeah, so you'd have the old buildings and then you could build the new stuff around it or near it so that you could visit the old town and be like, ha, look at those peasants without the intercontinental ballistic missiles.
The only problem, straight, is anything that has been pre-chunk loaded won't have the new... ores or anything, so you'd have to go to a completely new area
James
to mine the proper ores.
James was mentioning that, and I was thinking that's why I was saying we should change the spawn point, so it is possible to find the old stuff, but you'd still have the new chunks. What do you think?
I will try and save all the buildings that people have, and then transfer them into the new world as best as I can.
That would be cool as well.
I can't promise anything.
To keep Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yes.
What? No, that got blown up.
Damn it!
What?
That was two servers ago.
Oh, but candy!
Okay.
What about candy?
So yes, candy. You heard it here first.
They blew
there is
her.
Someone talking about Minecraft modded servers.
Right, okay.
Okay.
But we'll have more news in future podcasts.
Yeah, absolutely. Come back to us, Moff, when you've talked to Brad about those suggestions, and just let us know what's going on.
Sober up, have some meetings, let us know what happens next time.
Yeah. Do you want me to write this down for you? Oh, no, you can just listen to the podcast and then you remember what we talked about.
Nice.
I listen to everyone.
You watch every podcast.
I watch every podcast.
He can't understand why he doesn't get anything out of it other than seeing the, audio bar move up and down. This isn't entertainment.
It's so pretty.
It gets bigger as you...
Okay, moving on. So, GTA 5, what the f***?
What the f***?
What's with the swearing?
Oh, sorry, I forgot this is a adult
editing
show.
Yeah, so April the 14th is now the new release date. Hashtag good.
Do we believe them this time?
No.
No.
Not really. I would like to say, on the record, that if it is April the 14th, that is actually my exact birthday. MF.
Nope.
That's the present I would like.
Oh, yeah. You can get Matt to buy it for you if you want.
But, yeah.
I thought you were asking for the community to crowdfund your birthday.
Well, my brother's quite stingy, so if that happens, but that could work. Good idea, okay. Stray.
We should get a Patreon account.
Yeah, yeah. Birthday is now being crowdfunded. Thanks.
Nice.
Thanks,
GR. I'll drop 20p on that.
Thanks,
yeah,
mate.
I'll stretch as far as 30 pence.
Horrible people.
Okay, so I'm really excited for GTA 5. Basically, have you seen the Achievement Hunters and Let's Plays, GTA 5 Let's Play videos?
Yes.
They're amazing. The stuff they get up to on there, it just looks like so much fun.
I'm quite excited about first person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that looks awesome.
The multiplayer, the races, everything on multiplayer I'm looking forward to. I watched the Chaboy videos on YouTube, and he plays with Buys quite a lot. He does a lot of DayZ videos. He's very funny. Mm. And they have such a good time on it. I can't wait for it. We are officially setting up a GR GTA 5 stunt team.
Oh.
And a clan, don't worry about the clan. But a stunt team. And that will also... I can announce also that what one of our future competitions will be. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Yes, I would. I thought it was straight. You can listen to any mod. We're going to do film trailers on GTA 5. Yeah, there was recently, we posted up on Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/GeekStreetGaming.
Facebook.
God, not Twitter.
GeekStreetGaming at Facebook.
That doesn't make sense.
Hashtag.com.
Hashtag.com. There was, I think, Kotaku or something like that posted up someone's video. They did a film trailer and they just took footage from GTA 5 online. They made an absolutely brilliant looking trailer, a great buddy cop buddy comedy thing. A future GR competition is going to be to create video trailers, film trailers, for obviously non-existent films, but within the GTA 5 universe.
Yeah, with that, GTA 5 comes to the PC, we are going to do so much with that.
Oh yeah,
it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I might as well just sell my Steam account and create another one just for GTA 5. I won't be playing anything else, I don't think.
Well, I played on the PlayStation 3, and it was fun. But the problem was, the comms on that are so rubbish. Trying to hear what someone's saying to a Bluetooth headset is terrible. And when your communication is bad, and someone's coming through all jittery, and you can't hear what they're saying, it makes me extremely frustrated.
Yeah, no, we know about that.
Ow, why is my shoulder
so
hurting?
Rich.
I feel like a dick.
I'm sorry, Moff, I love you really, but
the good thing
earlier
with,
on, I wanted to kill you.
Good thing with GTA 5 and PC and GR is that we have a free open TeamSpeak server, which all of our members can use.
How do we find out information about this TeamSpeak server, Mong Pong?
Hashtag.twitter.facebook.com
Geeks
Retreat.co.
Oh, hang on. Actually, the website. It's www.facebook.com/groups/ Geeks Retreat Game. Geeks Retreat Gaming. God damn it.
That's it. That's it.
It's facebook.com.
/Geeks Retreat Gaming.
No, no, they're smart. Like, our audience is savvy and probably already on the community page, but whatever.
All two of them.
All two of them.
I know.
Like, nice one, Dean.
Dean and Hudson. For our listeners.
Remember when Hudson was like, you know, I really like your podcast because I went for a walk and it finished just as I was arriving home.
Yeah, oh, no, that's the only reason he liked it. It was just perfectly timed for what he was doing in his life at that moment. Not the content, just the timing of it.
We do good timing.
The running length. Not even the timing, the running length.
Like, so it could have been your white noise that you're going to be putting on at the end of the video.
Yeah, that's going to be that's dedicated to Hudson. White noise.
Okay.
If you can just let me know how much you'd like in each episode, or I'll make that happen for you, Hudson, just to coincide with your length of walks. What else are you talking about?
So, Stray Fails. There's a note there that says Stray Fails.
Fails.
The fail videos. We drew a winner, didn't we?
Would you like to explain about the competition? Because I don't think we ever mentioned it on a podcast before.
No, it was during the hiatus. But what we did was we did a video competition where you had to cut together your fail videos from your your gaming experience. Like when you'd done something stupid, or like, you know, thrown a grenade and it blew up in your face or something. And the idea
best
was
gaming to, fails.
Yeah, right, basically. And the idea was to cut those together and make a 3-minute video. And like then submit it to the Facebook group, and like there was a panel of judges. Mm-hmm. I think it was Charlie,
Rob.
It was Matt, and it was Rob.
Yeah.
Who were running that competition. But yeah, like we had a lot of responses from it. Like 12 people entered.
New record.
It's a new record, because most of the time people are like, oh yeah, that's a really good idea for a competition, but they never submit a video, which means like it means a lot that so many people entered this one.
And what was the prize?
The prize was a £20 Steam voucher.
This is what we need to get more people. If you're listening to this and you're not part of GR, first of all, join us at the Facebook page. I'm not going to say again, but our competitions are pretty good. I mean, £20 in Steam vouchers is not crap.
And you know, it's
compared to £30, it's rubbish. But £20 is pretty good.
And compared to £100, it's pretty much peanuts.
Terrible. It's like a fifth as good. But, you know.
But yeah, that was a thing. We've got another competition in the works at the moment, but we're not going to announce that today because we still have to figure out the details of that.
Yeah. But you won that competition. You won the fails competition.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't a judge, so there's no insider trading there.
He did deserve it, though. I mean, fails were amazing.
It was an amazing compilation of Uber fails that pretty much only you could really you can create. You're just a catastrophe to game with.
I really liked, and I think it was underappreciated, but I really liked the fail where I'm playing Payday and like I'm just like in a jewelry store job, like stealing, and like, I'm trying to break the glass on the cabinet, and instead of hitting the melee button, I hit the grenade button, and I just like chuck a grenade at the case, and I go run off, jump over a case, and like it blows up, killing a load of civilians.
Classic
and, like,
story.
Yeah, Roth's just like, did you what just happened? Did you get like arrested by the police? I'm like, no, everything's fine.
Don't worry about this.
It's cool. You can actually see that video. It's called Stray Fails Volume 3, A History of Failure.
Yeah.
And that is on the YouTube channel, which is The Geeks Retreat. It's The Geeks Retreat at YouTube. You'll be able to find it from that. And if you don't, then, maybe you need to go back to internet school.
Yeah. The web.
Just saying.
College.
Yeah, I've been there twice.
Yeah, I've dropped out a few times, but... Google Glass.
Who
was using Google Glass at the moment?
Who was using Google Glass? Like, literally last night instead of recording the podcast.
Was it you?
It was me. A friend of ours has got a set second hand for a, like even like quite a cheap price. And I just went round to his house yesterday, and he was just like wearing it when I came in. I was like, "Are you pretending to wear Google Glass? Have you made like a prop of Google Glass?" And you like, you know, because I thought there's no way he'd have got Google Glass without telling me. But no, he had Google Glass, and we got to try it out. And
wait,
it was pretty. It was fudging cool. Sorry about that, Andrew. Cool.
We'll be giving that Google Glass away in a future competition.
No. stop. That's definitely not happening.
Well,
aww.
Okay.
Unless the competition involves like a £50 entry fee.
How expensive was the Google Glass? Not how much he's paid for it, but how much were they on launch?
On launch, they
Alpha
were like
launch.
$1,500 or something like that.
Bargain.
Google Glass. Let's see what we could get it at eBay at the moment, secondhand. Google Glass sports safety goggles.
But no, that's wrong.
Oh no, okay, so Google Glass version 3 UK edition, complete in box, hardly used, £410.
That's not bad.
It's not. It's still quite expensive, and that is
especially
used.
Since the project is now defunct.
Yeah, like that is a shame.
It is a shame, but Google have a tendency of doing a lot of projects they close down, but they generally get quite a lot out of them, and I think they probably got quite a lot out of the Google Glass project. It'll be interesting to see what they found, what they'll use their findings for in future projects. They're exciting guys, Google, I think. They're not afraid to fail.
Yeah, they
probably get disappointed a bit, they like to try different things out. So good on you, Google. Nice one.
For next podcast, we're going to be having like a first-hand interview with Pippi, who is going to be wearing them pretty much constantly for a week. So he's going to be wearing them to work, wearing them. Well, maybe I didn't ask him. He's going to be wearing them to work. Going to be wearing them like out and about. You know, getting
in the toilets.
Probably. I can't see him taking them off just to go to the toilet.
In the car?
Yep, almost definitely. Any more suggestions about where he might be wearing them?
Supermarket?
Probably, yep.
In bed?
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Is he allowed to wear them in? Do they count as a mobile device? Wear them in the car?
I've heard stories about people getting pulled over, but I think it was...
Because you can't really tell unless you drive up really slowly to someone and go, oh, they're wearing Google Glass.
And there's the other point is you've got to prove that the device was in use at the time.
They could just take them off you and press rewind. It doesn't work like that, does it?
No. I thought you were going to say they just take them off you and then, like,
they could,
go,
they
oh,
might
I've
do.
Got Google Glass
You don't
now.
Know. Don't know.
So anyway, getting to the point of it though, was he's gonna like be probably talk about like, you know, the social experience, because one of the things we posted a picture on the Facebook group, and one of the first things that someone said was, oh, I wouldn't talk to somebody wearing Google Glass because I'd be worried about them videoing me or like filming me and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So just like the kind of reaction he's, and also the other thing that they're quite intrusive, the viewfinder is very obvious.
Right, okay.
So, like, just how
no spoilers. Save it for the proper rundown.
Are you sure? Like, I did have some like first impressions that I was going to talk about.
Okay. Go on then.
Okay, very first impressions.
That's enough. No, Karen, I'm sorry.
Okay. Very first impressions about it is the whole thing about, oh, you get really uncomfortable like with somebody looking at you who's got Google Glass. I spent 4 hours in a living room with him, and it's pretty much a case of you just get used to it. Like at first it was like, oh, we could be filming. The other thing is it's so obvious that if someone's turned the camera on.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
it's
what
like,
I was about to say.
It's ridiculously obvious. It's
they
have
make a loud noise
thing.
Or something.
No, it's...
recording!
You basically go, OK, Glass, and then record a video if you're using the voice commands, and then you can see them tapping the eye, but you can see the reflection in the viewfinder that it means they've started to record. And realistically, if you wanted to covertly record someone, there's a hell of a lot easier ways of doing it and, like, more subtle ways of doing it, like... So it's kind of like that kind of, once you get that into your head and you stop being like, oh, suddenly my friend is going to start, you know, filming me doing weird stuff, then you just get used to it. but I've seen some videos that he's done of like while he's been wearing the glasses, and it's kind of cool getting that sort of first person view without having to get a GoPro and like a helmet, a cam, and that kind of thing.
How good's the quality of it?
Quite good. Do you know that picture I put on my Facebook the other day? The one where it's like someone's attacking me with swords from behind.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is a Google Glass picture.
Not bad.
The video seems to be pretty good. I haven't seen an example of the video yet though.
Cool.
But I'm
looking forward to that.
Yeah, so we'll talk about it more like after the weekend. We'll talk about the guy who's actually been using. Sorry, we'll talk to the person who's actually been using it for the week. So we'll probably get a lot of feedback from that. But yeah, Geek Retreat have got their hands on Google Glass. Who'd have thought it?
No one, basically.
No one, literally no one. Have we already talked about the RoboCop reboot?
Oh, we talked about.
We talked about reboots, didn't we? God damn it!
Yeah, we talked about reboots.
Stop. No,
that was me.
Out on the nose.
That was me.
Oh, Andrew. Oh my God. You're a dick.
Sorry. God damn it, Troy.
Anyway, yeah.
Leave Drunk Moth alone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Drunk Moth.
Free Drunk Moth. Drunk Moth is an innocent man.
I just want to say this bottle of wine is actually finished now.
Okay.
Is it? It is right. It is a little bit finished. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Next.
So, if Drunk Moth, would you like to introduce Strange James talking about RoboCop?
Here's James and some other loser talking about RoboCop.
Thanks, man.
Boob.
So, this is Stray and James. James, thank you for joining me in the studio today. Pause to look around. This is not a studio.
No,
this is not a studio by any stretch of the imagination.
This is a microphone on a chair.
This is a microphone on a chair between two sofas. Very sophisticated stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to put a man inside a machine.
He suffered fourth-degree burns, over 80% of his body. If he survives, he'll be paralyzed from the waist down, confined to a wheelchair.
You say you can save him, but what does that mean? What kind of life will he have?
What kind of suit is this?
It's not a suit. It's you.
What the hell did you do to me?
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
So yeah, we just watched RoboCop on Netflix. James, you had seen the film before.
Uh-huh.
You warned me not to go in with high hopes.
I did, yes.
I believe that warning was founded. It wasn't the worst film I've ever seen.
It was definitely a movie.
It was a movie. It was above 90 minutes, so it qualifies as a feature length. So let's focus on some of the good points you were pointing out there to me earlier.
There's only really one.
Go on.
The fight scene with the robots in the warehouse. That's about the only redeeming feature of this film.
It was pretty awesome. Like, when you see the film, you'll know what I mean. But as far as action sequences go, it's probably on the same level as the Equilibrium fight scenes with the pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, kind of actually. Yeah,
like, that's firing in different directions.
Less controlled, but yeah, it was. That was like the only redeeming feature of this film, and then the rest of it was just preachy bullshit.
Yeah, there's. I think if you could summarize this film with a overused quote, it would be.
Robots are bad.
No, well, yeah, I suppose. All right, if you could summarize this film in a quote that is less used and a bit more like educational academic, it would be that those who would sacrifice liberties for security deserve neither. Right, excellent. I've just mashed that quote up. Neither. There's a very strong element of don't sell your human rights down the drain for security.
Man, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Samuel Jackson plays basically a black version of Bill O'Reilly. With
massive hands.
Are his hands massive, or is that just something that we thought was maybe a thing?
I think it was just the filming.
Yeah.
He did look like he had
Well, you know what
they
say, like, the camera puts on 10 pounds
to
your
hands.
Just
to hands.
Yeah. So, sorry. Don't touch me. He's touching me. I want this to be on record. He's just touched my hands. Okay, so moving back to the film. CGI was wanting in a lot of places. Well, not wanting as if it wasn't there.
It was only the cars.
Yeah, for some reason, the cars were very obviously terrible CGI.
Yeah, a couple of scenes just kind of had the cars sort of sliding unnaturally.
Yeah.
And just looking like somebody gone, oh, I've got this car rig, and then just make it spin around. It's fine.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole... There were very jarring moments when you're like, that car is extremely CGI.
Robots were decent.
Yeah, they were probably on par with... the badass
Terminator
robots,
1.
The badass robots from Total Recall. Do you remember those?
Yeah, actually, kind of.
It's similar element, isn't it?
They were better than that, but I still won't put them above Terminator 2.
You wouldn't put them above Terminator 2?
No.
Do you have a very high... You mean liquid
quality-wise?
Or?
Well, just quality-wise. You know the sections at the beginning where it's the actual Judgment Day stuff and all the Terminators are
really
walking?
I always remember them to be slow and look like they're ridiculously...
They looked intimidating. That was the thing.
It's an intimidation factor value them on.
They looked intimidating and... The other ones, these kind of followed that. They had that kind of threatening vibe to them.
So they had the robot dogs, not the robot. Well, it makes him like into a robot in RoboCop 3. It goes bark, bark, bark or something. But yeah, the big giant ones that go, surrender your weapon now.
Oh, ED-10.
Eddie, yeah.
ED-10s, some things. There's an entire fight scene with them. Where he's kind of diving between his legs.
I've got to be honest, I wasn't paying attention. It was a Transformers effect. There was too much blurry motion going on. There's a fight scene. There's two horrific moments that was not in the original RoboCop, and it's not really a spoiler, I don't think, to say, but the bit where, you know, he took the body off.
The robot body.
Yeah, there's a bit in the film where he takes the robot body off, and there's literally just a Murphy head and lungs, and that was probably the...
And his hand on a stick, let's not forget that.
Stick. It's just on this metal stick that's attached to his lungs and his spine.
Hey. Hey, what's his name? Inspector Gordon. Should we take off his hand, which is an obvious weak point, and he doesn't really need it anymore?
No,
or do we just leave it there?
Leave it on. We're digging out all the other bits of flesh that are left on his body.
But how do we attach it to him? We've already taken his other arm.
Well, just put a bit of metal in between him and the
just
hand.
Just a little bit of piping. Corrugated piping.
Yeah, if anyone remembers the original RoboCop, there's a scene in it where the guy goes, no, take off the entire hand. We don't want to bother salvaging it. We'll give him a robot hand. There's none of that in this. They want to keep as much organic in it as possible, as long as it doesn't involve the torso, the organs, or...
Basically
just a hand.
Just anything below the neckline that isn't internal.
Yeah, I still think of that scene and it will probably haunt my dreams.
What, you mean the original one didn't haunt your dreams where he was getting shot at by like 50 people with shotguns?
That was less terrifying than seeing a human head attached to lungs going, please kill me. that was horrific. So let's lighten the mood. We've darkened it a little bit there. James. Oh, sorry?
Hot wife,
yeah. There was a hot wife. And she, because it's obviously she was hot and they must have paid, you know, quite a lot of money for her to be in the film. So she actually got several more scenes than the original wife did.
I'm sure I've seen her in something before.
I want to say that she's... do you want to look this up while I babble?
Well,
I
want to
say
so.
That
yeah.
She's JD's wife. The person who JD knocks up in Scrubs. That's who I think she is. I can't remember what she was called in that show. But yeah, James had a good alternative idea. So they obviously gave him the battle hardened tactical body with all the armor.
We're really going here.
Yeah. Well, I am going somewhere. It may not be where you went during the film. I think he had a really quite a good idea there that they should give him a body for the weekend that looks more human.
The pleasure bot.
Yeah. Okay. That's what James was saying in the. During the film, he should... but I agree that he should have a weekend body, because he does not... They leave his personality in this, and they don't tell his wife and kids that he's died already. So he has to go, talk to his kid, and he talks to his kid in full, tactical armor. It'd probably be a lot better if it was just, some sort of more human-looking robot.
Okay, just to say, it's Abby Cornish.
Yep.
And she was in Seven Psychopaths, might have seen in that.
Oh, that's cool.
Sucker Punch, possibly.
I don't remember much about that film other than Nazis. Were there any Nazis in it? I'm sure there must
possibly.
Have
possibly. Short dresses.
Was she in... Okay. Was she in Scrubs?
She was not.
Then I don't care. Let's move on. I was wrong. You were not right, but like, yeah.
She's not been in much anyway, but she was. She played the love interest and the kind of.
Yeah, it's.
She has played the obligatory love interest in it.
That she had about several scenes. You cannot argue that she was in several scenes.
No, she was okay. I mean, she just played a very generic role. It wasn't anything interesting. It was just, this is the wife.
My favourite two characters were Commissioner Gordon, who plays the doctor who's mm-hmm. like, I'm bending the laws of my research to make him work and fit in with a project. And I like the guy who's playing Steve Jobs. There's basically the CEO of Omnicorp was very similar to Steve Jobs.
Who we also compared to Scorpio from a particular... I forget which episode of The Simpsons it is, but Scorpio from that.
Yeah, like, didn't you say because he seemed to have sugar in his pockets at one stage?
No, just it was that impression you get from me, just like come around to your house and say, anything you can get for you, anything you need. No, you got a coffee there, you need some sugar for it? Here you go.
He seemed like a really friendly guy for an evil genius.
Yeah. Well, my two favourites, Kim, the inappropriate lab assistant, who basically just shouted out inappropriate things constantly, like, he's getting more stressed, his heart level is raising, I think he's getting stressed because he feels inappropriate about his manhood, ooh, I shouldn't say that out loud, he's pretty ugly too, ooh, he's still getting stressed, yeah, why is this happening?
Her bedside manner left a lot to be desired. She was basically standing, like, when he first wakes up in the robot body, she's just like, burn victims and multiple amputees normally feel like they can still feel their limbs. It's like, I'm a what now?
Oh yeah, you're a multiple amputee and you're hideous. I'm just putting out that right now. We've messed you up, sir. There's no reason to deny it now. Your
heart rate is going up. I wonder why.
Your heart rate is going up. I wonder what else can do. Oh, and you also smell. You really smell right now. Are you self-conscious yet? Are you okay. Self-conscious, you
Okay, so some of this dialogue was not directly quoted from the film.
Really?
Really, but we...
I remember every minute of that. But...
I think that...
Second character...
Go on.
Would be the guy who controls all the other robots, whose name I now forget.
Who? I don't think I ever remembered his name. There's no point in that movie where I was like, I know who that is. I just recognise him as a person.
Well, let's see if we can find him.
Okay.
Rick Mattox.
What was his name in the film?
That was his name.
Oh, okay.
Jackie Earl Harley has a double barrel name. It was very, very posh. He was in Watchmen, apparently.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, he played sort of like a good dick, if that makes sense. Okay, this is the best way I can describe this. He played a really good in that film.
Yeah,
he had a very punchable face in it.
A very punchable face. There's a back and forth with him with Robocop when he first arrives, because the I forget his name already, the soldier
Rick.
Guy who, yeah, the dick,
or Mattox,
the dick Mattox, but Dick Mackett, okay, never mind. Basically he plays a guy who thinks the robots are the way forward, and they think putting a cyborg on the streets is a step backwards.
You know, remember him from Watchmen?
Okay.
He was people would hate me for not remembering this. The guy with the Rorschach.
Rorschach.
He was Rorschach.
I didn't recognise him as Rorschach, but Rorschach, what a good role. So there's a bit where he plays a very appropriate music during a simulation, and it's like, oh, you're a complete dick, but that's perfect. Mm.
He was perhaps one of the most believable characters, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just feel, because he just kind of came across as very naturally a complete and utter tool, whereas everybody else, it felt forced.
Yeah, like, well, Steve Jobs went from being like, kind of, you know, I'm saying Steve Jobs, please autocorrect to the CEO of Omnitech, which, don't bother looking up his name, it's not important. Anyway, so Steve Jobs' character basically went from being kind of like, yeah, I'm kind of CEO and this is all about money, to being really sinister really quickly. Like, at the end, he was, you know, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, towards the end, he takes it's not a gradual arc. He suddenly, like, goes, and I'm a massive tool.
He jumps off the deep end.
Yeah, he
quite
does.
Literally.
James, would you recommend people see this film?
If you have nothing else to watch. It's on Netflix.
Okay, so it's on Netflix, and we did prioritize this over Mission Impossible something, Ghost Protocol.
In all fairness, the only reason we prioritized over that was because I just saw that and was like, that looks less crap than anything else that I've seen so far.
Yeah, yeah. So, on the whole, it's, Robocop, you're shooting.
It's not terrible, it's just very predictable. One of the points I had was that at the beginning of the movie, Stray was just predicting everything that was going to happen, and it's just like, my God, it's like you've seen this before.
It was, yeah, it's... I don't know why we're bothering to try and keep this spoiler-free. It was not a...
The plot runs on very, very set tropes.
I mean, obviously, we sort of know what's going on because it's a remake, but on the other hand, they haven't done much to hide what was going to happen or to, like, put any depth to it. It was just like, if you go on tvtropes.com, you could just keep following the links to different like characters. I don't feel it was like a complete waste of time, you know. There's stuff happening on the screen. Definitely better than Transformers. Anyway, I've been Stray, this has been James, and we've been talking about a film.
Robocop 2014.
Electric cars. Someone put this on the list of things to talk about. What's the situation?
I did, but I'm going to say we've got access to an electric car that we can do a review on and talk about.
What type of electric car?
It is a Zoe one. Hang on, which Nissan? I want to say Nissan Zoe. Reynolds Zoe. And it is one of the more affordable electric cars on the market at the moment.
Well, that would be an interesting review.
Yeah, so
I'll tell you what, as a video, to be honest, but we'll talk about it in the podcast.
Yeah, we'll come back to that with the guy who owns it. But the point is, it is quite cool. It's a lot more accessible for somebody like to buy and own one than I thought it was. Anyway, let's move off this subject. There will hopefully be a video review of the electric car going up on the YouTube channel, which is The Geeks Retreat. Which is on YouTube, and you'll be able to find if you have passed internet class at school. So tell us about the Power Ranger fan film, because I know nothing about it, and I know everyone's sick of hearing me talk.
Moth, have you seen it?
I have not. I'm quite aroused by this.
It's not bad at all. I think James Vander, what's his name? Dawson's Creek. Dude,
I don't want to wait for the Power Rangers fan
Rangers
film.
And Katie Sackhoff, as in Starbuck, is in it. It's about 15 minutes long, and it's about, I don't really know what it's about, to be honest, because the story is really convoluted and all over the place, and I don't really know what the Power Rangers are anyway, apart from watching them years and years ago when my little brother wanted to see them at the cinema and remembering actually the film wasn't that crap.
Is this Matt really Farina of The Geeks Retreat?
No, James Farina, my little brother. Matt is my older brother. So they've the fan reboot. I think it was produced or directed by James Vander, what's his, Dawson. And it's pretty good. It's quite brutal. There's a bit of sweary bits in it. It's a bit cheesy, but it's really good. But apparently the Power Rangers owners are trying to get it taken down. So... And there's also talk about lawsuits getting involved. So I would suggest that if anyone wants to watch the Power Rangers fan film, which it literally is just called the Power Rangers fan film on YouTube, that you do so rather immediately.
I have got it queued up now for after we finished.
Yeah. It's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad.
Nice. You're really selling it to me.
It's pretty good.
It's not good. It's terrible.
Got Dawson and Starbuck in it.
You should probably watch Geeks Retreat videos. They're all awesome.
Yeah.
All the time.
All awesome all the time.
24/7.
Speaking of which, we have a potential... And you know how we did the... like Daisy in real life, where we tested out how easy it was to open cans of beans with various tools.
Relatively difficult, if I remember correctly. Yeah. But yes, they were good videos.
You know what's the easiest to get them open with?
It was
an axe.
Yeah.
The only problem is the beans go everywhere.
Yeah.
That video is up on the YouTube channel, obviously, if you haven't seen that. That's one of our more popular videos. It was actually really fun to make. Anyway, so we've actually got another live action project in the work.
Oh, really? Tell us more.
In the works. Well, it's a little bit secret at the moment. There's a note here that Michael Bay is involved with it.
Oh, it's going to be rubbish then.
That is absolutely false.
There should be explosions then, at least.
Yes, there may be. There's not going to be explosions. I don't know why Moff's put that on there.
We need explosions.
Moff, you've really got to stop doing this, because I'm like the guy from Anchorman. I just read these.
Write everything in capitals, Moff.
Yeah, he's added like loads of stuff to the end of the live action project note, and I was going to go, oh, it's a live action podcast. I was like, wait, no, it's not. It's not a live action podcast. Yeah, we've got a live action project. It's going to be a sort of like a skit kind of episode, web series episode thing. So we're going to be filming the pilot of that soonish.
Who is involved in this?
That's some people who are geographically local to myself, same as the Daisy video. We've just got some new Roth will probably be involved, Pippi, myself, and Berftel will probably be doing that. And we've just got some new camera equipment.
And you guys are getting all pro.
So that we can do that. So yeah.
And what's it based on? You've got to give us more than that.
No, well, I'm not going to. So
is it based on a game? Is it DayZ?
It's based on. It will be based on taking. Moff, stop sending me Steam messages. They're so annoying, and I'm not entirely sure if they're recording at the moment. So if you just heard some beeping, sorry about that.
I don't know.
It's going to be based on a popular television show and sort of like a spoof of that. But I will not say anything more about it at the time being.
Simpsons?
Oh, God damn it. Andrew.
Is it The Simpsons?
Come on, man.
Is it?
No, it's not The fucking Simpsons.
Oh.
You moron. I said popular TV show.
Is it sci-fi? Is it sci-fi?
No, it's fantasy.
Game of Thrones. Obviously.
God damn it. Yeah.
That's obviously, you're such a Game of Thrones nerd.
We've got a Game of Thrones spoof video skip thing in the world.
That was the easiest thing to drag out of you ever. You are rubbish at secrets.
God damn it. Well, stay tuned for more details of that.
God damn it, Andrew.
Anyway, speaking of the new hardware and equipment that we've got for that, we're also going to be at London Super Comic Con. We're going to be taking some cameras down to that and some microphones and basically getting some video of that convention. Right. Yes.
Represent.
I would like to go with Mongpong and say, why aren't we invited?
You were invited. I just invited you.
I'm coming.
Okay. Are you actually coming?
I will try my best.
When is it
off?
It's the 14th of March. I had something open for this, but we've been doing so much research. London Super Comic Con.
I can't go.
It is, 14th, 15th of March down at the Excel Centre in London. And everyone in the group is going to be... Oh, well, everyone in our little group is going to be going in cosplay, which will be a
what
first
are you
for all of us. Oh, no, I'm not telling you this one, but half of the group are going as
Game of
characters from a popular game.
Game of Thrones by Telltale Games?
I'm going to spoil this. I'm going as Charmander.
It's not Game of Thrones by... What?
I thought you would have been going as Borat.
You mankini. Anyway,
okay,
we're cosplaying for the first time. Like, we haven't. We've never cosplayed before. So that'll be new.
Why can't you tell us what you're going as?
Because it's a nice surprise for people. Like,
it's based on a game. Is it Borderlands?
Stop asking questions, Andrew. This didn't end well for me last time.
What type of game is it?
Shut up. Right.
Get the information.
Hold on. No. Let's get to the bottom of this.
Anyway. What?
How many of you are going?
There's four of us going at the moment.
How fancy.
Shut the frack up.
It's Final Fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, it's Final Fantasy. But which one?
Seven.
It's not Final Fantasy, you morons.
Gotta be Final Fantasy VII.
I said a popular video game. Oh yeah, Roth, I went there.
Final Fantasy VII.
You guys are like the worst. Wait, stop it.
It's definitely Final Fantasy VII.
Anyway, if there's any GR members or listeners who are going to London Super Comic Con, please let us know on the Facebook group, which is Geek Street Gaming. Hashtag Facebook. And stay tuned to the Twitter, which is geeks_retreat, because we'll be posting stuff on there about it.
What's the name of the girl in Final Fantasy VII?
Which one? There's two.
Is Strangler's Eris
the main one?
I hate you so much, Andrew.
There's a flower girl.
The Eris!
Eris!
Yeah, that's Stray. I could see him as it. You'd be so pretty.
Okay.
Sorry, what were you saying?
I bolded this out. We're moving on from this. The point is, we're going. Let us know if you guys are going to. Although we'll probably just make a post up on the Facebook group beforehand.
And if you don't want to tell them, just look for the guys dressed
as Final Fantasy. If you're there, Moth might be there. Stray might be there. Well, in fact, Stray will be there.
Stray better Moth be there. He's bought his tickets.
He might be dressed as a Charmander.
You can
in a mankini.
Charmander?
Yeah, that's all I've got, mate. That's literally all I've got.
Okay, that's fine. You can come as... If you want to come, just come.
I drove 3 hours in a Charmander outfit in a metro.
Cold.
He didn't have to, though.
With his little feet working away like the Flintstones.
Oh, yeah. That rust.
I know. Okay. Last thing we've got to talk about. It's very brief. Before I let these two, continue with their rambling drunkenness.
I'm drunk on Toblerone.
We rebooted the website with a new design.
Actually.
No, I got fired.
He was fired. This is awkward now.
we
got a web developer, and basically he fixed it for us.
To be fair, he kept my background. He loved my background so much.
Yeah. He's fixed that up for us.
Oh, I'm disappointed for Moth.
You made it awkward, didn't you?
To be fair, though, I did lose my other job where I had time to do this and I couldn't do it anymore.
Just to be clear, there was no actual... Moth was never sat down and we said, okay, Moth, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. It's just that someone else started updating the website and Moth never said anything about it.
Moth's like... I'm off the hook. Nice.
Yeah.
I'll just stay really quiet.
Pretty much.
I was like, I'm busy in this new job. I don't have time.
Yeah.
Thank God someone came in and took the reins.
So it's not regularly updated yet because we don't have regular contributors. However, I'd just like to take this opportunity to say, if you've got something that's kind of geeky that you want to write up and send in, we'll have a look over it. And if it's not horrible, slash fan fiction about Moth and Mong Pong, then we'll probably upload it for you.
We keep that private.
That's obviously just for us. I think the site looks awesome now.
Looks good.
Thank you very much.
I've got an article up there. Did I tell you?
You do have an article. It was in the Geeks News. At the moment we've got game reviews, guides, Tech and Ting podcast, which is what you're listening to right now.
Right here, right now.
Okay. Thank you for listening. I've been Stray.
Been Moth.
I've been Moth, apparently.
And that's been Mong Pong.
Super chunk.
Don't drink,
kids. Thank you for listening. I promise it'll get better.
Never.
Bye.
Love you.
The Geeks Retreat Tech and Tings podcast.